You're listening to Strictly Anonymous on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand, you can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you want to follow the Strictly Anonymous Podcast on Twitter, follow the show at Strict Anonymous, follow me at Cartoon Therapy, follow me on Instagram at cartoon_misadventures. If you want to be on the show, this is a cartoon. This is a call and advice show. It's a podcast where I talk to people about all kinds of things, but I say it's a call and advice show because I really like to give people advice. And so if you have a problem or you have a naughty life or a secret life and you want to be on the show, send me an email at strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com or go to strictlyanonymouspodcast.com and click on be on the show. If you could write a review. If you haven't subscribe. Today I'm on a guy named Slacker. I like the name, but I don't know, you know, there's no reference to it. I don't know. So today I have a guy named Slacker, and Slacker wrote in, and all he told me was that he's like in a sexless marriage. And that's the deal. And that's what we talk about. His story is a little bit different than the last guy, because there was a guy on just last week, right, that had a sexless marriage. But their reason for having it sexless is very different from a lot of people's reasons. There's some sickness going on with her that's causing sort of their sex life, and as well as like their intimacy with each other, to go like out the window. And he talks really openly about how that makes him feel. It takes him a while actually to be open about it. We just talk about the problem, but then we eventually get to understand how he feels about it. And he feels conflicted about it, because I think he feels bad, or not that I think, I know he feels bad about feeling bad about the way that he feels, right? And I think we could relate to that, or most people could relate to that. Anyway, so his name, and then he gets homework at the end. So we're going to be able to watch the story progress as it goes, because I, of course, recommended therapy to him, and he's going to have to make that therapy happen. And then he's going to call in and tell us how it went. But anyway, I'm going to be right back on with Slacker.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.
Hey, Slacker. I like your name, by the way, Slacker.
Thank you.
Welcome to the
stream. It's my ambition in life.
Yeah, I don't know, because I have a feeling that maybe Slacker has to, like, it's going to be like a theme maybe for this podcast, because all I really know is that you're in a sexless marriage, and that's about it, right? I mean, and I'm assuming that's what we're going to be talking about. So isn't that why you're calling yourself a Slacker? Like, is it your fault that you're not having sex with your wife? Like,
no, it's actually... Slacker is really just, it's just my ambition in life. I'm not a slacker.
Okay.
But, and it has nothing to do with my relationship or anything like that.
Okay.
And it's funny, because I went back and forth about even wanting to do the show, because I thought, well, maybe this is a little dull. But I thought, you know, worst case scenario, Kathy doesn't have to air if she doesn't want to. So let's just
see what
happens.
First of all, I've only not aired a couple episodes, and never because they were dull. One was because after I did this whole podcast with this girl, it wound up that she was like 14. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
I cannot put you out there at 14. Like, it's like having sex with someone that's 14. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I just, yeah. I don't think that's legal. Like, you know what I mean? She doesn't have consent for herself right. to do something like that. I said, I cannot do that. She recently reached out again thinking I wouldn't remember. I'm like, how old are you now? She's like 15. I was like, no. And then another
you
one.
Still
no. Yeah. And then another one was a guy who got cold feet after and said, don't do it. And I said, of course I won't then. Like, I'm never going to put something up also that somebody doesn't want me to, but I would never do it because yeah. people think it's boring. And just so you know, and this is probably really boring beginning to a podcast because I'm talking not about you, but I really like regular questions. I didn't set out to do a podcast about sex. It just happened because I advertised on Craigslist and then it became really interesting anyway. But I love just regular questions because I just like to analyze things and figure things out. So don't worry about it being dull. Slacker. So tell me what your deal is. Yeah.
So, yeah, a little bit of background and bring me, you know, reel me back in if I get off the rails or something.
I will. But,
So I'm pretty close in age to you, I think. Late 40s. My wife and I are the same age. We got married quite young, or early 20s. And
yeah, that's
so, you know, we've been together. Yeah, we've been together for over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, ups and downs in the marriage and just real life, you know, not,
of course.
We'll explore that. But so in terms of our sex life, you know, I don't know if vanilla is it's probably too tame a term. I mean, we started off with a really hot sex life. We're 100% monogamous and skew way towards the hetero side. Not that we care about anything else or anybody else, but that's just sort of our, you know, that's where we lie. I mean, we've used toys. We've, you know, I love lingerie and feminine things on her. But you know, that's it. We've never gone outside of our marriage while we've been married. Not been too, you know, I mean, we'll have a little fun and do a little kinky this or that.
Yeah,
once
you guys sound like normal, quote unquote. Like,
yeah,
not normal, but
yeah,
just like average,
it,
like
yeah.
the norm. Not really vanilla. I think vanilla is people wouldn't even use. When I think of the word vanilla sex, like, I think like, no, like those people would just like missionary, nothing kinky,
right.
no toys.
No.
I think what you guys sound like is like probably the majority of people out there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would think so, you
yeah.
know. So I, you know, all in all, it's been good over that time, and it's had its ups and downs. I mean, there are times when my wife was on birth control and like, she's never, it's not birth control because of your hormones, or it is because it just stopped you from wanting to have sex, but she never wanted to talk about that. You know, I find out years later, hey, you know, I had to be in the middle of it before I wanted to do it. And I'm like, why didn't we ever talk about this? You know, I was always thinking it was like pity sex and kids, you know, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know how that is? I mean, that gets really in the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I have
we
a
have,
kid. I understand.
Yeah, well.
Uh-huh. It's a very, but from the woman's point of view, because I'm like, it's like, you don't, you've, feel very unsexy being a mom. I have to say, you have to try really hard to hold on to that part of yourself and remember yourself that way and reclaim that if you lose it. But like, that's what's going
right.
on from the woman's point of view.
And just the energy level, right?
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden your husband or significant other is another person pawing at you, right?
Oh, so, I always say, I don't know if you've heard it yet on my podcast, I'm always like, I'm so happy I'm a single mom that I don't have to blow anybody at the end of the day. And my son's like 3 and a half, and I'm just getting to the point now when he started to get around 3 that like I could give a blow job after he went to sleep. Like it starts to get a little bit easier, but those first couple of years is brutal. And I think people that have more than one kid, what happens is right when it starts to get easier, instead of giving blowjobs again,
you
they go to have another kid.
Again.
Yeah, they have another kid.
Exactly.
So you're looking at years of no sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was never really a huge bone of contention between us because I think I'm a pretty realistic person.
Yeah, you understood.
Yeah, totally. And
you were happy she was being a good mom.
Yeah, sure. It's not like it was never. It just was not, you know, all the time in the middle of the day. You know, just that those days were over, right? So that's okay. But if you picture our family unit, so are you familiar with the show Family Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's us now, except all three kids are a little bit older than what they are in the show.
Okay.
So we have two much older children, and then we have a younger child.
Right.
So, but that was way unexpected. Like that last one, you know, came out of nowhere.
Right. You weren't planning it.
Right. So, and that's, you know, early 40s. It's like, whoa. So what that did, you know, and like I said, we've already been through ups and downs and this is and that's in your relationship, just natural stuff that, you know, everybody goes through, and some people are more resilient than others, I think. But that, what that did was that kind of triggered, in my wife, autoimmune problems that were not fully, I don't know the term for it. They were not fully, exposed yet.
Right. Yeah.
So
and that triggered it when she got pregnant at that age.
Yeah. And it wasn't just that. I mean, there was probably some other things, a lot of stress things that didn't have to do with our relationship, but with extended family and, you know, just stuff going on in her life. And it all kind of came to a head, and really kind of triggered the symptoms. And, so that was, you know, that's new ground. And it, and that was, you know, that's, 6-7 years ago now.
Yeah.
But it progressively got worse. So there are, you know, so that becomes when you say in sickness and in health, you know, people don't really think about sickness, youth, or long-term illnesses that can really affect you, especially if you're not really familiar with those things and the, and what happens to a person when they have, you know, a chronic illness.
Right,
and, yeah. And it really, so with both having a young child again, and neither of us having the energy we had, you know, in our 20s and early 30s, and then coupled with her declining health, you know, it slowly eroded to the point where today, and we had to deal with the other thing, because autoimmune will also cause other problems. So we went through, you know, a cancer issue that I think is taken care of now, but there's, you know, there were surgeries involved. And so, you know, all that stuff takes time, and it just eats away. Yeah.
And in all of this, she has a baby and then a toddler, and she's dealing with that also. Yeah.
Yes. And then, so, you know, right now, when I say, I mean, sexless, we're down to maybe 4 times a year at this point. And it may get better again. I don't know. But it's really difficult because there's so many things going on. I have to pick up a whole lot of, no pun intended, slack and do a lot of things that, you know, she's not able to do. And
like
so
what?
I'm not as in, you know, I mean, like the, like chores, shopping, house cleaning, you know, she doesn't work right now.
Right.
So, and then really just taking my little one off her hands so that, you know, she can rest, because there's chronic fatigue and pain associated with a couple of these things.
Oh, God.
And the pain is a real drag. So, I mean, I don't want to go into this laundry list of symptoms, but there are so many things that get in the way with it. And, you know, she'll talk about it. Well, that's not, you know, that's not sexy, right? And it doesn't make me want to pursue her.
Right.
And so there may be a, you know, she may, and nausea is a big problem every evening. And it's because of the lining in the stomach and how one of these conditions lessens that. She doesn't have quite enough and it makes her kind of ill.
Yeah.
So, you know, it will subside, but by then any desire I might have is kind of out the window. Like, I don't want to be like, hey, baby, you know, you service me. You know what
of
I mean?
Course. Yeah.
It's just, so when it gets compounded, is here, she's not feeling it. And the, And when she can feel it, I'm already like, nah, I'm not really there anymore. You know, first of all, I don't want you to be doing something when you're not feeling well. And secondly, it's just kind of not like, we are older, so it does have to be sexier or kind of gussied up. You know what I mean? We've already, like, a quickie doesn't really interest me anymore. It's like, you know,
you need a little
bit
more.
If I just need to get off, I will just take care of business, even though there's never any time for that.
Right.
But really, I want an experience and I want to be together and feel more, you know, more intimate. Even if it's dirty, I want, you know,
right.
I want it to be dirty, but I love her. So I want that intimacy as well. And so that's like never anymore. And when you talk about, you know, are you leading a secret life? And I've always thought, no, I'm not leading a secret life, but you know what? I'm leading a secret painful life because outside of therapists, which I don't know that we have the time or money to add into our lives, who can I talk to about this?
Right.
Not my family, not my friends. It's embarrassing. Well, not necessarily embarrassing, but they don't need to know that, you know?
Right. Who's going to be, wants to listen to your sex life issues?
Right. So
I mean, the funny thing
difficult.
is if you probably talk to a lot of your guy friends about it or something, like, they, you know, you guys could probably have a 2-hour car, you know, they could probably bring up their things and, like, because this is happening in a lot of people's marriages. But it, for you guys, it's actually compounded because of her health issues. And it does. I think anyone listening
totally.
That has a wife or a husband that have had health issues probably could relate to a lot of things that you say, but other people never would think of it. Right. Like you said, because you don't even realize. Right. But that, like,
right.
even you as the man who's normally like the one who's still super horny and still just wants to fuck no matter what, you know, because, like you said, of her talking about it and all these issues and them being something that's like up on the table at all times, it takes away the sexiness for you too. And that's
right.
like hardcore for a guy to lose it, right? In a way.
Yeah, but it's tough because I think, you know, she will get the impression that, or she'll start to worry, naturally so, that maybe I'm looking for somebody.
Yeah.
And I don't make things better because I kind of joke, like, I'm like, yeah, listen, love and sex are two different things. I'm not looking for somebody because I don't have the patience to have another woman in my life.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with love. But, you know, I'm just needling her. I'm teasing her to make light of the situation. But yeah, she'll fear that stuff. And because I'm not really, you know, it's the interest is waning worse and worse. And, you know, even porn doesn't really do it because, like, you know, I could take care of myself, but that's not going to fix the hole that we feel or that I feel. It's not.
Right. You need more. It's not just a sex
thing.
Maybe you're missing,
it's
the companionship, the intimacy, or the relationship that you used to have with your wife. It's almost like you don't have that anymore, and you might never sort of be able to reclaim that. But what do you have now, or what do you create now with her? You know what I mean? Or what kind of relationship do you guys have now that you could build upon in a different way? Maybe it has to be.
Right. Because it's stagnant and boring. Like, we're not in a state of growth because we've backtracked into becoming the parents that of a young child again, which, like, we already tread that ground a long time ago. So the time for new interest, it's like, at a certain point, you look towards the light at the end of the tunnel going, you know, at this point, I'm going to actually be able to focus back on myself again or our relationship, try new things again. And, like, we fucked that up. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
He's great. But I will say that we also, both my boys, my older boy and my little one, have developmental problems, which create more attention that you've got to give them.
What kind
more.
Of developmental? So ones they were born with, ones that happened because of, like...
Yes, ones that they were born with. I didn't want to get this specific, but plug it.
Yeah.
They're both on the autism spectrum.
Oh, gosh.
And they are both very well-functioning, but...
But there's still issues with that. It makes it a little bit more difficult, even on top of
absolutely.
The difficulty that regular kids give you, right? So
correct,
you got to...
because it adds to that exhaustion, right?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't, you know, if I...
Yeah, you
I'm
couldn't
not
be slacker if you wanted to. No wonder why you wish you were slacker. That's like your goal. Good news. Strictly Anonymous podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description.
Yeah, I couldn't be the kind of person that would have a side relationship for the sex, because I, first of all, would be horrible. I mean, I've only had in my life three, you know, long-time sex relationships, and all the other slew were, you know, one-time, one-night stand types that I was horrible at because I didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be fulfilling for me, and it certainly wouldn't be fulfilling for the woman, but I inside a real relationship, I think I'm a great lover. So I would end up wanting to have feelings for somebody outside
of that. You would have to have an affair.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, that would kill my wife.
Right. And you wouldn't do that.
That would kill my wife.
Right. I mean, you've been monogamous through this whole time. You guys are monogamous people. Right. But that's who you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and she has real, you know, the things that go way back to her early childhood about abandonment issues. So if I, you know, if I cheated on her, it's not that she would hate me forever. It's that she wouldn't be able to get over it and our marriage couldn't survive it. That's just her thing. I told her, you know, if you came to me and told me something happened, I could get over it because I know, you know, it's not, you know, but she's not that way at
right.
all.
Uh-huh.
So if I cross that line, I would just be torpedoing our marriage. And that's, on top of that, infidelity to your children.
It is interesting, though, that you guys have talked about it.
Oh, sure.
With each other.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
We do talk a lot. And talking about this stuff, it certainly relieves some of the pressure. You know, it's like a valve. But with it getting sort of worse, it's getting harder and harder to have that pressure stay relieved because we're still neither one of us. I mean, she's not happy either. She's not satisfied.
Yeah.
And this is embarrassing to say, but, you know, when we do get together, it's been quite some time. I am not lasting like I would love to last, you know, because we're not doing anything in between. I have no stamina left. You know, it's like, don't give me head for too long, because if you want any penetration, you know,
it's you're good for one time.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Right.
But a lot of older guys, that happens to a lot of guys when they reach their late 40s. At least I've seen it, even with my most player guy friends that used to fuck like crazy. They go one time and that's it. Unless they're taking, like, there's different guys, and you know, but a lot of them I find are that same way in their late 40s.
Ugh, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's worse for women and with menopause.
Dude, that's been going on for years. So it's kind of like, look, if we're going to plan this for Saturday, if we're going to be that, you know, that not spontaneous about it, you know, I got to build up for the next 3 or 4 days. I think you can help me out with a couple of those tonight.
Let me ask you this, let me ask you this about all her problems that she has. It sounds like she's got a lot of health problems, right? And she's had them since the baby's been born and 6 or 7 years have gone by. Like, does she...
Yeah.
Had she in the beginning and maybe gave up, or is she now, is she looking for like solutions or, you know, to get better? Is she on medications? Does she go to doctors? Is she trying to figure out ways out of sort of the things that are going on with her?
100%. Yeah. It's just very hard with autoimmune problems because they're so intertwined with other things. They affect so many things, like medications, can make some things, some symptoms less severe.
Did she ever, try hormones? Did she ever get, like, a full hormone workup? I mean, I'm sure she did after she was pregnant and, like, I don't know. Like, did she ever check, her hormones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. She's had a lot of things checked out because of this other cancer thing that came.
Right.
Yeah.
This, mm-hmm.
You know, so really there's no, I mean, it's, you know, you're onto something. You always have to keep trying for sort of a formula between treatments and nutrition and all that kind of stuff. But it's difficult because nobody responds the same way. And she's got things that just don't have, they don't have a cure. You know what I mean? They don't have a cure.
I think there's nothing worse when like your body, like you have no control over what is happening for your body and you can't be helped. I mean, that's one of like the most helpless positions to be in, especially for like, you know, your wife, she's been dealing with this for years and it's just, there's, you know, no matter what she's has done and she's trying to find solutions, like it can't be figured out and these things are just happening to her and there's nothing she could do about it. That must be awful for her.
It's very frustrating, cause a lot of, you know, depressed times, which,
yeah,
you know, everything circles back and makes it compounds the issues of your relationship. Because for me, it's like, oh my God, you're always depressed. But you know what? I get why you're depressed.
Yeah,
even
I'd be
though I can't
fucking depressed
it.
Too. And not only that, I'm
right.
sorry
and
to say, but if she's in her late,
worse.
No, but if she's in her late 40s too, she's dealing with either perimenopause or menopause is right
Absolutely.
Around the corner. So her hormones would be whacked anyway. She could
yes.
be depressed for no reason at that time anyway. So, you know,
right.
throw that on top of it. I mean, she's dealing with a lot.
You try to navigate
what's
what.
It's almost too much. It's too much.
Yeah, it's a fucking
much.
Puzzle. Sorry for
yeah.
my bad language. But yeah, it's a puzzle.
Yeah.
And I can only, you know, I can understand it, you know, in my mind, but you still respond certain ways, times, you know,
well,
there's still resentfulness that sort of builds up and you have to
but
check
both
yourself,
of those
you have
things
to have conversations.
No, but both of those things could exist at the same time, right? I mean,
yeah,
you
totally.
Could feel for her and understand everything, but you could still be upset and think about how, because of how it's affecting you, right? I mean, and I think that's
right.
a confusing place to be, right? But both those things are happening at the same time. There was a woman on one of my shows that I watch, I fucking love reality TV. I don't care what anyone says. And there's like one of those Real Housewives shows that I watch. One of the woman's husband was going through like cancer treatment and all she was doing was complaining about how like he was being such a fucking asshole and how it was affecting her. And like nobody, and somebody else came. I heard somebody else talking about it. I think it was Katie Couric, who's like a very, you know, anti, like she's not like a Real Housewives person. Right. And she said, listen, you know, because
right.
her husband went through cancer. Like she said, he was a fucking asshole a lot of times. And it's very brave of her to sort of talk about that in public because a lot of people would probably look down on her for doing that, right? And saying, oh, what a selfish bitch. But when you're in that position, that does happen. Like they can become difficult patients and you can have a problem, you know, and like it is a very real thing that happens that nobody sort of talks about, right? And
yeah,
so, and
yeah.
I thought that was very brave of her in a way to sort of talk about that. And a lot of people in those sort of relationships would understand and be like, oh yeah, I totally get that. Right. And you're like in the same kind of position, like you feel bad and everything, but it's also
yeah.
affecting you in ways that you feel like pissed off about it or whatever. A lot of probably
right.
different
it's
emotions.
Very, it is similar. She's not, you know, she's not an asshole, but she can be miserable sometimes, which,
well, that's what
you know,
she means. Right.
Snipe, but,
right. Right. Right.
You know, it just, but you're right. It's like, here I am complaining. I always have to check myself and go, whatever I'm going through, I'm still like 1,000 times better off than some normal person in Afghanistan, right?
Yeah.
So that's how I have to look at it because, you know, it's like, man, life could always be worse, but
it's always hard to balance.
At this point,
yeah.
you feel like life is passing you by.
Mm-hmm.
Like I only have
It's
so
true.
Much time left. I mean,
yeah.
I forget. I look in the mirror and you know, I still think like the 25-year-old guy, but I'm not, you know, I'm pushing 50 here.
Yeah, nobody tells you when you're 25. Like when you look at older people when you're like 25, right? We can remember. You think it's like you're going to be like this different person. But what you're going to be is exactly who. I mean, you're going to be different as a person, but you're going to not feel like you don't feel older. Like your body's older and all these things. But like who you are and how you feel, it's like you still feel like that same person. But it's weird. Like you say,
right.
you look in the mirror and you realize, no, I'm fucking way older. And like, if me and my sister were just talking about this yesterday, I'm like, if we die when we're 80 or 85, that's 30, 35 more times around the track, and years go by really fucking fast when you're old. So that's not that right. long of a time. You know what I mean?
It's like, no.
And you definitely no. start to think of those things, I think, around our age. Like, you know, you start to think
right.
like, because I think when you're in your 20s, you don't think you're ever going to fucking die, right? But like, you start to really, and a lot of people still don't realize it, but the truth is you are going to fucking die. And when you're like 50, you really start to realize you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you thank God.
You gotta live your life now.
Right. And then, but I think there's, I made a commitment to be by this person through thick and thin. And if I left, who's there for her? You know what I mean?
No, you're listening.
Like, first of all,
right.
my kids would, they would hate me for that. But, and it's not about not loving somebody. It's just about going, wow, I'm super restricted as well. And mm-hmm. even though I don't have it and I'm not paying, I'm living it by proxy. Like, what am I missing out on? You know, especially this age where you're a little bit more financially, you know, you're not always scrambling all the time, you know, hopefully by this point in your life. And you think I could be enjoying certain things and we can't enjoy those things. And at the same time, it's like, no, I can't, I could never desert this person because
let me ask you this. Do you do things like separately a lot, or is it always together? Like, I mean, could you technically go do some stuff like without her? Like,
yeah,
even if it's like on the
totally.
Weekends, like with guy friends, just to like have a little bit of fun that maybe she can't do that you used to do with her. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I could and do. In fact, I mean, through work, I end up doing a lot of kind of cool things. And all through my adult life, I've gotten to do things and travel through various work, you know, from various jobs.
Yeah.
And that is, and I'm lucky for that actually. But the downside of it is, you know, it's probably a little depressing for her to hear about. Not, it's just like, I mean, she doesn't begrudge me that. But at the same time, that whole flip resentment's like, God, you get to do all this stuff and you're, you know, I'm so restricted half the time.
Well, listen, like what I just said to you, if I was talking to her when I said like, listen, like, you know, both things exist, you could feel like bad for her, but also bad for yourself. I mean, I would say the same thing to her because she would probably complain
right.
about the same thing, that she's happy for you that you get to go out and do your things, but it also like makes her jealous and she's pissed off that she can't do that and it makes her resent you. You know what I mean? And you would say like, I understand both feelings. You know what I mean? And I understand that
yeah.
happening at the same time.
You have to, I mean, it's not easy to always try to put yourself in the other person's shoes too.
No, but that's normal. Normal people should be able
right.
to. If you're not a fucking narcissist and you're with someone for a long time and you have genuine feelings for them, you should be able to. I think a lot of people feel those two sides of things a lot. You know what I mean? And it is always confusing. And that's, the, you know, being a human being.
Yeah.
You know?
So we're at the point,
yeah.
you know, where it's. And I think I sent this in my emails, like, you're going to tell me you guys got to go to counseling.
Well, you haven't yet. I mean, you haven't all this time.
No,
has she?
No.
No.
Ugh. And the thing is, and I think she needs to on her own, but we also do need to as a couple.
Totally.
I think what's tough is, and maybe this is arrogance on my, I know it's arrogance on my part. I was actually a psych major, although I never went into the field, but, I almost feel like we do really communicate well. And I always think, what are they going to tell us? Like, we
listen,
need
I'm sorry.
More active than just
no,
listen to
no.
us, you know?
Yes, exactly. And I always liked people like that more. I went to like 5 different people before I found my last therapist that I was with that was so amazing. But and she was someone that really talked a lot to me. But I am telling you, if you find the right therapist, they bring something to the fucking table that you cannot get from your friend or from yourself or from a book or from talking to your wife. It is something completely separate and unique. And it's something that you could only get from that person. And that is, and trust me on that. If you're getting the same shit that you're getting from your wife or from your friend, and that's the kind of advice, then you're not with that. The therapist sucks and you shouldn't see them. Do you understand? It's a totally separate thing. I've always, seriously. So it's not like they can't bring something to the table. I promise you, if you take your time to really vet people and find the right person, and you'll know that person when you meet them. Don't just go to the first person you go to. You know, that person will.
That's another thing.
Will
shopping around.
Yeah, you got to shop around. Sometimes it takes a couple times. Maybe you'll find the person the right time. It's shopping around doesn't take that long. It's 45 minutes of a one day, you know? And you get a session and you see how it is and you'll know. And then what happens is, this is what therapy is. Have you ever been in therapy ever in your life?
No.
Okay, that's a no.
I mean, my daughter was, I went to one session with her.
But you, no, I'm saying
not
for you.
For myself.
Right.
No.
What therapy is it's like, you go, it's like almost like going to the gym. Do you go to the gym? Do you work out?
No.
Okay. So you don't know this feeling. Okay. You go into a gym or you go into therapy and you feel one way, like maybe you feel sluggish that day. You don't feel really good about yourself. You feel tired and you come out always feeling fucking good. And that's the thing about therapy and the gym. And that's why those things are both really great. No matter how you feel going in, you always walk out feeling good. Even if nothing really happens, and every now and then, the other thing that happens at therapy that will amaze you is that you just will have a light bulb moment. Like you, and you know, all those other, it's not that it happens every single time, that every session is like, oh my God, she fucking blew me away and I learned so much. But every time you will feel out, walking out, and you will feel better because you just will. But every now and then, you the light bulb will go off and you'll learn something or there'll be a breakthrough, you know, and that's what it becomes all about, you know, and it does help as long as, like I said, you're with the right person and you find the right person. But as a couple, it could really help you. I think also for your wife, because of everything that she's going through, like she could really benefit from it as somebody with all those health issues, you know, but and then you guys could go together too. But it's like crazy that you guys are taking on all of this by yourself. I have a very hard time like you, like sort of dealing with the human being part of myself, like allowing myself to feel bad for myself, allowing myself to feel, you know what I mean? And allowing myself to not be quote unquote strong. You know what I mean? I could always just be like, whatever, I could deal with it. It's fine. I could look at the glass half full. I don't like to be a victim. I'm a problem solver. You know what I mean? And if anything, I have a problem feeling like bad for myself or feel, you know, and so I'm always holding that back, you know, and so I understand that kind of a thing, but it's really like, you know, I could go a whole year without crying. I could cry on TV shows for other people, but do I ever like cry for myself? No, like it's just I never have time. Like, you know, it's like, but that's not like really
healthy.
I'm
100% that way. I can't cry except for like watching a Disney movie, like
right,
when Bambi's mom gets killed.
Yeah, for
like,
Bambi.
That's how I can cry.
But not
it's
for yourself.
It's so messed up.
And I'm sure, like, it was, sometimes I was joking with my sisters, and I'm like, I should cry for my fucking, like, why can't I cry for some shit that I have gone through? But like, you know, it's just like, and so I get it, right? But like, you know, that's why therapy and letting it out and letting that stuff out is really healthy. I'm not in therapy right now, but I keep thinking like I need to be, because I'm a single mom, I'm dealing with children. Like, you have to have a release for those human being feelings, and there should be a balance, you know what I mean? And yeah, you don't want to become like the opposite end of things. You're not going to be in fetus position on the floor crying hysterically and you can't fucking deal with life, but there has to be a balance, and there should be. And I think that's what how you remain the healthiest, you know? And and especially when you're getting older, because life becomes very busy, you know, especially like I have friends that are like in their early 40s, and I'm like, you don't understand, when you get in your 50s, like it's a 10 years later, like your parents are getting sick and people are dying, having heart attacks. Like there's all this other stuff that's put on you. And as you get older, just more and more stuff is put on you. So it's like, it's really easy to sort of forget about yourself and taking care of yourself, you know, and then things could build up and resentment. And none of those things help your health, by the way. You know, none of that is going to help your wife and, you know, get past her stuff. And not to say that she could ever be totally cured, I don't know, but like being depressed doesn't help it, you know, on top
of it. You're 100% right. Because all that stress, then it creates this vicious cycle.
Yeah, more physical stuff in your body. I believe the mind-body connection for sure, right? And what is that doing for you, you know? So you have to start maybe like both of you start dealing with your emotional health, because it seems like you guys have been taking care of your children and taking care of your wife and her physical things. But like emotionally, you guys have to take care of yourselves now too. It's too much. It's just... Oh, it's like too much even listening to it, especially like you said, to putting on top two autistic children, you know, like that's a lot of stuff that you guys have taken on. And your wife, you know, like mind body, some like really mind, I don't believe 100% like, oh, like somebody could just think positively and something will go away. I mean, like there are other things in play. Like you can't say someone that gets cancer is just like, oh, they're not thinking correctly or they can make it go away. You know, like sometimes just things are the way that they are. But, you know, sometimes though, you know, they can be brought on from like, sort of like a mind body thing, like, you know, like it's just too, maybe like things are just too much for your wife, right? So these things came on to sort of give her sort of an out. I don't know. And that's like sort of like crazy to say in a weird way. But like if your wife could like start for her, I think it would be really healthy for her to start sort of, like I said, dealing with herself emotionally and instead of physically, right? Because right now she doesn't have anything for that. Because, and that could actually help her physically. You know, I don't know that she could ever be 100% better, but if she could get herself like not depressed and get herself sort of feeling a little bit better, that could help things, you know? You could be working out. You never went to a gym. You could work, you know, all these things you could be doing to also make you feel a little better, because maybe you have a little depression going on as well.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. I think I stuff all that down, kind of like you were describing before. It's like, you know, Superman is the ideal. And I'm not a Superman because, you know, I do bitch about it. It's almost like, but I think my actions, you know, are more important most of the time. But yeah, I'm not dealing, well, I don't know if I'm dealing with it or just, I'm just pushing it aside. We're pushing it down, you know?
Right, but that's maybe why, like, why I say you might be mildly depressed, not like totally depressed, but like a mild depression, because how you're just like not really that horny anymore. You know, like it, all that stuff and that pushing down those things will weigh on you, and all that stuff shoved down can bring on like a mild sort of depression that you might not even know about, because, you know, you've been dealing with this for so long that it's like you don't even know what being not depressed is like, because it could happen so gradually for the past 6 years dealing, you know, that you don't even know that you're depressed. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And that happens a lot. And that might be why physically you don't feel as horny anymore. You know, that could be affecting your sex drive as well. I mean, that's like depression is like a number one reason, is a number one killer of a sex drive for sure. It definitely affects it.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Like, when you sit around thinking of, like, what's the solution or what do you want to do? Like, what does it look like to you? Like, what do you want to happen?
That's a great question that I don't know the answer to anymore, because what happens now is and this kind of goes along with that depression, is you start finding the reasons why that's not going to work before, you know what I mean? You think, okay, we can do this. Oh, well, that's not going to work because of this, you know, or whatever. So I don't know. And again, it's at that, we're at that phase of our relationship. When I was a kid, I couldn't imagine people who had been together for a quarter of a century, had fought through things, getting divorced at that point. And not that I'm even close to thinking about divorce, but then when you find yourself in the thick of things at this point, you go, oh, now I get it. It's not necessarily about love. It's about not being able to cope with these things. And a lot of people just think if they get out and find somebody else, all these problems go away. That's not true. They get worse, you know, probably, because now you're having to deal with, you know, divorce and how that goes along with the kids and stuff like that. And I've gone off on a tangent. I can't remember.
No, that's okay.
You said, what do I see?
Yeah,
what do you see the solutions being?
Not just the solutions,
I don't know anymore.
It's not even the solutions. It's like, what do you want for yourself? Like, what is it that you want that you don't have? Is it a better sex life with your wife?
Yeah, I would like for more connection and more time for connection. That lately it's been tough. And I know these things come and go. I guess being in an extended period of it, sometimes you think, oh my God, this will never end. It's never going to change. Of course, things change. I just hope they change for the better. So I would like, you know, that I would definitely like a better sex life, but I might have to reframe in my mind what that really looks like.
Right, but that's where therapy could really help you with stuff like that, because it sounds like, you know, you've just been so in the thick of things for so long, you almost don't even... It's like it's hard to weed through even your feelings about what you want, what you don't want, what your future looks like. It sounds like you might never get back that relationship that you had with your wife. So, like, what does the new relationship look like to you? How are you guys going to, you know, make it work, you know? And
right.
I think you need help with that, because I think that's what you want, you know?
I do. And I want to be – it's not like I'm looking to reinvent myself or anything, but, you know, there was a time – where, you know, before this all started, where my wife was about to pick up a new hobby. And also she was working and that was something kind of new. So I was interested in this. It was a different side of her. Wanting to pick up this new thing was really cool. It was something new about her. And, that was really cool. And like, there's nothing right now. There's nothing new about either one of us. So it's like,
right,
there needs to be a little bit of reinvigoration, something that says, there is still a little mystery left, you know?
What about you going to the fucking gym or going to a therapist or this is what I think, like you say, like, I'm hoping things get better, but like, if you don't do something different, you have to do something different. Like, I'm sorry, but your wife's medical things are just not going to magically go away tomorrow, right? So let's pretend that those are here to stay, right? So how do you do something within that? I really do believe that if your wife started to feel better about herself, that could help her situation, right? The only thing she could do and change right now that she has control over is like all these other things, right? Maybe physically she can't control that, but if maybe she went to someone and started to talk about things and let go of all these sort of feelings she probably has because of like how her fucking badass cards that were dealt to her, you know, maybe that could make her feel better about her, physically too.
Yeah. And it can't come from me. Like, that's useless to her.
But if you but listen, what happens
is, from that third party.
No, yeah, but what happens is that, like, you know, let me ask you this. Have you ever brought up going to therapy? Would she be the type to say, okay, let's go?
More so than me, probably. Like,
okay,
I think, you know, haven't we thought of everything already? But, I mean, I think that's just personal arrogance.
No one's ever brought it up?
Yeah, we've talked about it. It's just that in the past year, it's been too much to add to the plate.
Right now, you've been able to carve out an hour to talk to me. This is therapy. What do you think you're doing calling into my fucking show? You need a place to like vent your shit. No. What I'm saying is like the part of you that wanted to call in here is the part of you that it's like you could do this once a week with somebody. Do you understand? Like that's what this is. This is therapy. for you. Just right. talking about it. And I'm not even like a fucking professional that's going to like, you know, I could give you some things, but just talking. And every single person that calls into my show, especially the ones with problems, like say like how much they get out of it. You're going to get a lot out of this also when you listen to it back, let me tell you. As well, you're going to get even more out of it actually when you listen to yourself and your situation and what you're dealing with and how you're dealing with it from the third person. That's going to blow your mind, right? But besides that, like that's what is like having this conversation, how you're going to feel when you hang up, you're going to feel good because you just like dumped your a little bit of your shit out. Like that's what's so great about therapy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like why did you want to call in?
I don't know. Probably for you to kick me in the ass and tell me just to
right. But that's what therapy is, right? That's good. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that's good. But that's why you wanted to call in because you do wanna talk to somebody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you do.
I do. I think we've gotten to that point where it's got to be a necessity, or we're just going to, you know, just slowly die inside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and then what happens when all this physically starts to, you know, manifest in you, you know? Like and so I just think you have to take care of yourself more emotionally. Like I said, that's the only thing you guys could have control of right now. And I think that it would help. And I think you should, you know, tell her that she should get some therapy for herself as well just to talk, because I think she's dealing with a lot. And I think she needs a place to dump that even more than you do. I mean, you could do it separately as well, but like, you know, and that will help her for sure.
I think she definitely knows that. And I think if I supported that and maybe took the first step for her or with her before and said, hey, you know,
let's do this.
We're going to put on the calendar. You're going to make the call today, or we're going to make the call today. And, you know, we don't have anything to lose. We hate it. We can stop. But
yeah.
We've got to try.
Let's try it. Yeah. She would love it. I'm telling you, the therapy is great. Like, it really is. It's like 1 hour about you for like once a week. You should definitely go once a week, you know. And like I said, you will feel better every single time. You just have to find the right person. And I don't know if nowadays maybe they do Skype things and stuff. Like, I don't even know if you have to go in, but it's not that much of a time commitment. Maybe trying to find the person.
That would be super convenient. That would be convenient, is not having to show up at an office, but still be able to do a face-to-face. That would be great.
Yeah, maybe they have that now. I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure, but you know, have your wife look into it. Yeah, in a car, in a parking lot.
Yeah,
like
in my
else.
Lunch, you know, essentially my lunch break. Yeah,
yeah.
So
a parking lot. I've talked to a lot of people in a parking lot. I was just like, it's so funny. But yeah, I just so you might be able to find that. But even if not, you guys could get in a car. It will be a nice thing that you guys do together, something new. Okay. And I think you'll enjoy it and you'll feel good because you'll walk in there, maybe like not knowing what to expect, maybe not really being excited. And I promise you, you guys will walk out feeling like you'll have a little bit more energy than you've had in the past 6 years. There'll be something different. Something will have changed. You'll feel good. You'll want to like go get a cup of coffee together or do something. It'll bring you guys closer in a different way. I feel like driving out of your fucking house where all these problems are having and getting in a car and going to an office will be good, because when you get out, like I said, you'll feel better, and maybe you'll get in your car and you'll go do something that you haven't done in a long fucking time because you'll feel to do it. Do you understand? Because you're going to feel happier. You're going to feel lighter. You're going to feel a little bit different. And it may create the opportunity, like I said, to do other things afterwards when you leave there together. So I say get out of your fucking house. Don't look for the person that's going to Skype with you.
Okay.
There's too much there. Get out.
That's
go
true.
Into an office. Sit someplace. Look at somebody in person and have that conversation. And really, like, make it happen. But like ASAP, like I feel like giving you homework and you having to come back on the show and not have an hour long thing, but I like you have to say within 2 weeks time when your appointment is. You laugh, but yeah, I mean, why not?
No. Giving me a deadline is probably the way.
Yeah, you got to do it. Yeah, you got to do it. Like,
otherwise, I'll say, yeah, Kathy, I'm going to do that.
Right.
You know, 2 months will go by.
Right, but I do believe, this is what I believe, on some subconscious level, right? Like, you got up the courage to call into here. You had the desire to do it. I think that you're looking, so it's like, I think now is the time, you know, and that really shows where you're at, that you're really looking for other answers. You can't deal with it on your own anymore, and you know that, you know, so I think that you're ready.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that.
What do you mean?
I mean, I didn't really even think about my decision to reach out to you being also like a catalyst, a turning point, saying you gotta do something. It's not just
Why would you be calling in? Why would you be calling in?
I don't know.
I always say this to all my people, like, well, you know, that it means something. There's some part of you that did that, because it's like, it's not easy to do, you know, and for you, like, you had to worry, like, is this not a typical conversation that she typically has, right? It's not all about sex, whatever, you know, you had some reservations, but you still did it and you still wanted to. I think that that's a part of you, the subconscious part of you that's looking for some answers and is now open to sort of having conversations and looking, because you really want things to change. And that's where you have to be. And so I think that you're ready. And I think you need to do it. And I think that you need to, listen, like I said, it took me 5 times to find the right person. It might take you 2 times. It may take you 4 times. You might find it on the first person. You know, I never been to a couples therapy, but, you know, I think that that's a whole different ball game. And I think, for some reason, there's less people that do it. So the chances of finding the right one is easier than the regular therapist that you could see solo. I don't know why that makes sense,
well,
but it makes sense.
Even when I think about couples therapy, I always, like, the first thing that comes to your mind is it's a last ditch effort to save your marriage, and it's adversarial and somebody's to blame. But as you and I are talking, I'm realizing, like, we're not going to go in with that mindset.
And no, and listen, the smart couple,
sure,
this is not 1984 where that's the only type of couple that went into therapy. Nowadays, people go into therapy way before it's adversarial. A lot of people just do it the minute things start to be like there's some issues to deal with it, to get on top of it, so they don't wind up at that place down the line. So I don't agree. I think that a lot of people go into it before.
No, I'm not saying that that's how it is.
But that's what you always thought, right?
That's
your perception.
To mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
It's unconscious. Like,
yeah.
I didn't think about that's how I felt, but when I kind of break it down, like, that's what kind of the feeling that comes to the surface.
Right.
You know?
You're thinking me and my wife don't need it, maybe, but like you really
right.
do.
And
you
that's
really do.
I grew up in the 80s, so maybe that's where that comes from.
Yeah, totally. Right? Neither one of you has ever tried therapy, and there's no way that neither one of you has ever fucking needed it. You know, it's not just for people that are messed up. It's like, it just could just help you sort of deal with the problems that you're having. It's just, it's like, it's someone to help you, you know, and you guys like you said, like, you guys love each other. It's not like you guys are fighting about anything, but you guys have all these things inside your marriage that are putting major strains and making you guys feel lots of feelings about each other that are going back and forth and are just toxic to your relationship. Now,
but we both feel lonely and kind of suffering on our own. We have an awareness of what that other person's going through, but without a way to fix it, and
without
having
help.
This kind of, you know, yeah,
you need help. You have a lot of shit that you guys have been dealing with. Somebody, a professional, could come in and really sort of talk to you guys and weed through it and really help you guys figure out, you know, where you guys should be heading as far as like your new relationship, how to make it work, how to stay together, how to, you know, and then I do think that your wife would benefit from going to therapy on her own as well. And maybe you will like it so much you'll do it on your own too. But I, you know, who knows? But I think she could use it as well.
I think so. I think, you know, I'll commit to making this appointment next week. the thing that, you know, it breaks my heart because sometimes she says, you know, if we met each other now, you know, whatever, you wouldn't even think about dating me and blah, blah, blah. And I think, I don't know whether that's true or not, but it breaks my heart that you feel that way, you know, that you feel that.
But let me ask you this. But let me ask you this. If you met her now, would you date her?
If I met her now, would I date her?
Yeah.
I don't know. I
right, and that's
what
she's...
I have
a, right, but listen, she's well, not... The part of her that says that is like the realistic part of her. You know what I mean? She's like, she's not fucking dumb. Like, I mean, that's
but I
like...
I hate to admit it. It's hard to admit that.
I know, but she knows that on some level because that's just human nature. Like, come on. Like, no one's gonna...
Then I feel like I feel like I've failed her in some way. By saying I'm not sure. I have a lot of close female friends that are 100% platonic. I wouldn't dream of making a move, and I think, yeah, maybe that's the kind of relationship we would have, you know. But I don't want to tell her because I know how much it hurts.
Listen,
her.
I'm not saying to
but
tell
she's right.
her that,
and she
right.
knows. You know what? You're right. She knows she's right. I'm the one that won't go. Yeah.
Yeah, you
because
won't.
Because it's hard for me to say that.
Right. It's hard for you to admit that because it makes you feel bad. You're like, I get,
makes
I totally
like a
get
dick.
Yeah, I totally get that. But I think if you could be honest about that, right, and put that out there, that's where you could start to work on changing that feeling in you. Do you know what I mean? To be something different.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, the way that it is, that's probably is how you feel. But I think if you could change the situation between you guys and get a little help, you might not feel that way anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that could go
totally.
Away. That's not forever. But right now that probably is a part of the truth.
It's really hard to admit. And certainly,
of course.
You know, she knows because I just get quiet and my eyes go away and I'll say, no, that's not true. And she's like, fuck, you know, bullshit. You
of
know?
Course. Right.
But you're right. You're right. And I need to, yeah.
You need to like let that out there, see how that feels. And then you could work from that because that could be changed. You could fall back in love with her. It's not that you're not in love because you're in love with her, but you could get that back. You can get that I want to fucking date this woman again feeling somehow, but you need help from somebody who really knows how to deal with couples and how to make those relationships, you know, become like refresh those relationships. I don't know how to fucking do that. I can't even have a relationship.
It's crucial.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crucial for if you're going to stay together for that second leg of your life. I mean, it's crucial.
Yeah, and you can't do it this way. Neither one of you are happy. Neither one of you are happy. Like you get that you only live once and like, you know, fucking carpe diem it now because there you don't have much longer, right? But and I do think that you can. I mean, you guys are in a bad place, but you have like the foundation like that's worth it. To like that you could rebuild. You know, there's a lot of people that divorce is the right thing in this type of juncture. Like it could happen. And those people are happier, maybe separate, you know, but like, I think you guys need to try to make it work. But I think what you have to do is let go of like how it used to be and figure out how to create a new relationship with each other, you know? And I do think if your wife gets help, she could become a little bit more of the person that you would want to date. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think that her depression and all her stuff is helping at all. And so I think like, I'm telling you, unfortunately, it sounds so lame, but it's really true. Like you guys need that therapy and it will really help. Like you guys, like, you know, it's, you guys can work through this. You've worked through so much. You've been able to stay together through all of this. Like that's, you know, a testament to how strong your relationship is. But if you don't get on it now, you might stay together forever, but you're just going to be miserable.
Right. And who wants that? I don't. And I don't want her to be miserable.
I have old miserable parents who like are so mean to each other because they just been trapped for so long. Like I'm just like, Oh, it's like you just don't even want to be around it. It's like you see those old couples, like, you know, and that's when you're not hiding your shit. You're still like able to be like nice. Like when you're like 80, oh, you guys will just be so mean to each other if you stayed together. This is not changing. Like, but you're not of that generation. You know, that's a different generation. Our generation could go to fucking therapy. Like, we know, like, it exists. It's a good thing. Like, you know, we know to work on ourselves and we don't sweep everything under the rug, you know, and you got to get on that bandwagon. You got to get with it and get some help and start dealing with things, and it could really help. So this is your homework, right? We're wrapping this up.
Yep.
This is your homework. I give you 2 weeks. 2 weeks to go.
Last time you gave me 2 weeks, though, you forgot about me.
What? When was that? Oh, when we made the appointment to have the call. I know. 2 weeks. I won't forget about this after we spoke for an hour. It's different when you email me and I get 50 fucking emails a day from people. No, don't
I know,
worry.
I forgot about his
podcast being taped today. Sorry. But this is.
You mean I'm not special?
No. God. No, but once I talk to somebody, I have a very good memory. It's a very different story, right? So I will remember I will remember 2 weeks ago. I literally do this show because I actually really do like to help people. And I love when people better themselves, and I love change in people, and I love people like changing things up and doing the right thing. Like, I love all this. I will be so happy to get the email from you that you have made an appointment, because I feel like that would is going to change your life and will be really good. And nothing would make me happier. Like, it's like I said, it's truly why I do my show. So I will not
forget. I will email you the moment I make the appointment.
Yeah. And then just so you know, what comes after that is like, you have to go to the fucking appointment and you have to call in.
Right.
And we need to discuss. We will do a quick thing. It won't be a full episode, but I'll put it in at the end. You will tell me how it went. It'll be interesting, right? Because maybe it wasn't the right person. We'll discuss that through and we'll talk it through. And then you go to the, but like, that's what I want. I want to report back after you actually go to the therapy. So those are the two things you have to do. Email me when you make the appointment, and then we're going to have you call in and tell me how that first ever, that's a big thing, first ever at your age therapy that you're going to, how it made you feel and how it went down. I think that that's really interesting, and it will really help other people too who are in the same boat. Because I think there's a lot of people our age, because we were at a weird age where a lot of people weren't still into therapy, was still a little bit like stigmatized, you know. I think younger people aren't that way, but for us it was. So, you know, there's a lot of people I think that are our age that still have never tried it, but it's never too late. I give anyone props. I've had a couple friends that started therapy in like their 50s. I think that's when Howard Stern, he's one of the biggest people who always talks about it. It's something that he did way later, and he's just like always therapy, 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 because he knows. So it's never too late, and I think I give you credit for going, because you're going to go, and we want to hear about it. So good luck.
All right.
You get back.
We'll do it.
We'll talk soon.
All right.
Thanks
Kathy.
For calling. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone, Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is strictly anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.